Blog Talk Radio.
From Los Angeles, California, it's Music Friday Live, brought to you by Solar City, your source for clean, sustainable energy. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan, and on the agenda today are two powerful women in rock, Felicia Vox and Eleanor Goldfield. So stay tuned. This is going to be quite an exciting show today. Well, I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan, and on Music Friday Live, and this is your show. These bands are here to talk with you. So call us, 347-215-7511. That's 347-215-7511. Or you can email your questions, your comments to musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Well, NAMM is in town, and the Grammys are coming up. NAMM, for those of you who don't know, is the National Association of Music Merchants, and it is a very big deal. They take over the Anaheim Convention Center and a whole bunch of hotels out in Anaheim, and it's rock and roll and music for 92,000 people for the week leading up to the Grammys. And speaking of the Grammys, well, who will it be? The Black Keys or Taylor Swift or Ariana Grande or Charlie XCX? Well, I'll leave that up to you. My pick, of course, is All About That Bass by Meghan Trainor, but that's just my opinion. However, one thing I notice about the Grammys this year is that there are lots of message songs up there. Arcade Fire and its song We Exist, and Sam Smith's song Stay With Me about gay rights and gay love, they're right there. Hunter Hayes' song Invisible, which is about bullying and how Hunter Hayes got bullied as a child. Glenn Campbell, of course, has his very, very sad song I'm Not Gonna Miss You about his struggle with Alzheimer's. My favorite of all this is, believe it or not, Taylor Swift. Her video, Shake It Off, I think is brilliant. It's of course, it's about haters and what to do about haters, but I love the way that she portrays not only what to do, but she also deprecates herself in the video. I think that she is absolutely brilliant, and I really love that the video. But I'll be watching Sunday night, and I suppose a lot of you are going to be watching Sunday night to see if your favorite band or your favorite artist gets one of those coveted statues. And of course, it's going to be a lot of fun. There's always, you know, the red carpet and who's wearing what and all of that stuff. But there'll undoubtedly be some hijinks on stage, and there'll be lots of good videos that you won't see anywhere else. So that's Sunday. That's the Grammys, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We have to take a break right now, and when we come back, we're going to have a woman who also rocks with a message, Eleanor Goldfield of Rooftop Revolutionaries. Don't go away. You're listening to Music Friday Live.
Our troops aren't the only ones fighting right now. Thousands of military families are in crisis. They're fighting financial battles, how to pay the bills, even how to keep their homes and feed their children. You can help by supporting Operation Homefront, a national nonprofit that provides emergency assistance for military families and for wounded warriors when they come home. To learn more about how you can help, go to OperationHomefront.net.
And we're back here on Music Friday Live. I'm Patrick O'Heffernan, your host, and I wanted to tell everybody that, first of all, I want to welcome our listeners on the CyberStationUSA.com network and all of the radio affiliates there. And also let everybody know that if you have questions or comments for our guests, you can call in at 347-215-7511. That's 347-215-7511. or you can email your questions to musicfridaylive@gmail.com. That's musicfridaylive@gmail.com. And, you know, if you're listening to Music Friday Live on a podcast, and I know a lot of you do listen to us on a podcast, you can still email questions for our guests. We will forward your questions to our guests so they can reply directly to you unless you tell us differently, and they're, you know, we'll mask your email address so you don't end up on a mailing list that you didn't authorize, and they can send their answer back through you. So if you're listening to us on a podcast, feel free to email us your questions. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, Eleanor will be with us. Oh, actually, I think I'm going to be introducing Eleanor right now. Don't go away. I have actually known Eleanor, our next guest, the co-founder of and the lead singer of the alt-rock band Rooftop Revolutionaries for some time, and I know that she's a very complex artist and a very complex person. She's a singer with a stunning vocal range. She blows away audiences and live performances, and she produces unforgettable albums. As a model, she is sheer beauty with spun gold hair and slender lines and more than a few tasteful tattoos. As a writer, her blog, Art Killing Apathy, takes on sophisticated politics, philosophy, ethics, and often lands her on news shows. And as an activist, she's out there on the front lines of movements like Occupy in the struggle to wrench democracy back from the rich and powerful. Her new EP, White, shows why this 28-year-old phenomenon is a voice of her generation. Eleanor, welcome back to Music Friday Live.
Thank you so much for having me, Patrick.
Eleanor, first of all, you have forsaken the sunshine of Los Angeles for the cold and Mortal Kombat politics of our nation's capital. Has that changed your music at all?
Well, I've only been here a few days, but I've already felt very inspired by this city. I've had a lot of ideas and melodies floating around in my head, so it hasn't changed my music at all, but we will see what will happen on the upcoming EP, Blue, that will be released this year. I'm not really sure, but I'm sure that it will be very heavily influenced by my time here.
Well, I hope so. I'm looking forward to that one. But right now, this new EP that you've got out, I think is a good move for your music. And I think the lead song says it pretty succinctly. This is Sick, Tired, and Wasted. There's a couple lines in there that really struck me. Low life, high price dying, brought to you by fat cats with nine lives that just won't die. what do we do about that? What do we do about the fat cats that just won't die?
Well, you have to find a way to get them where it hurts, which is, of course, their wallets, the top 1% that own, that by 2016 will own about half of the global wealth. You have to fight them. We have to fight them, period. But also, you have to fight them economically, and you have to, even small decisions like not buying things at Walmart. This past year saw a drop in Monsanto's bottom line and also McDonald's. So we can actually affect change simply by making simple choices every day. Of course, there's the activism, there's the protesting in the streets. That's not for everybody, though, but I think it's important to note that everybody can do something, even if it's something small, like deciding to buy locally organic, not buying a bunch of unnecessary stuff that is created for the purpose of planned obsolescence.
Okay. You know, speaking of corporations seeing their revenues down, I noticed that McDonald's had a very big drop in revenue, and I don't know if it's associated with the comments by the chairman of McDonald's that because he's a Christian, he's not going to advertise to the gay community. But who knows? I would think that when
I think that's him trying to explain away the fact that a lot of people have seen alternative media and activists commenting on how poisonous McDonald's is, not just their food, but their politics, as you said, I mean, not wanting to have anything to do with gays. So I think they had a 34% drop in revenue last year. So I think that's a very powerful show of how all these activists and even McDonald's workers asking for a fair wage, I think people see that and they notice that McDonald's is not somewhere where they want to eat, but it's also somewhere that they don't want to put their money.
Apparently. Now, they've got another song here that we're just queuing up, and this sounds like a battle anthem. This is Let Freedom Ring. That's a pretty heavy-duty piece of music. You don't pull any punches there. And musically, it kind of sounds like there's a battle going on, and so do the lyrics. There's a lyric in there, Lady Liberty lies busted lips and cries. Corporate goons, yeah, you slick tycoons, wiping blood, diamond ring. It sounds like we lost the battle.
No, I think it's important. Basically, this song is likening our situation to an abusive relationship. And as people know, as Lifetime movies tells us, you can make it out of abusive relationships. You just have to wake up and realize that it's not okay what's happening to you. And it's our job to save Lady Liberty and Uncle Sam and the rest of the family from this highly abusive relationship that that we're experiencing at the hands of these corporate tycoons.
We're talking with Eleanor Goldfield of Rooftop Revolutionaries, and you can talk to her too. You can call in 347-215-7511, or you can email us, and the emails are starting to come in. You can email us at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Well, in this battle that you sing about, what role does music play?
Well, I think music plays a very important role. I think music has this tremendous ability to bring people together across all sorts of lines, social, religious, class, race. So I think music is, as you said, in Let Freedom Ring, it's a battle cry. It's inspiration, and it's also information. I think if you look back at any historic fight, social or political, you'll find pop culture. And I think that's very important. We need the younger generations to be fighting with whatever mediums they prefer, whether that's film, music, art, sculpture, whatever it is. And I think that creates a very important role in the activist movement because it's entertainment, and who wouldn't want to be entertained while they're learning about the issues that we're dealing with?
Well, how do you use your music in that battle?
I use it basically, you know, this concept of art killing apathy. I use it to inform people in a way that engages them so that they don't totally shut off and they don't feel like they're being preached at. They feel like they're rocking out. They feel like they're having a good time. And they're also getting to learn about what's happening in this country, and not in a dry way. And they get to hear that it's a powerful, it's a young, it's a very kinetic and dynamic movement that they can plug into in a myriad of different ways, whether that be tweeting or protesting in the streets. So I use my music as a tool in the activism movement to bring more people into it in whatever ways that they feel that they can contribute.
We're talking with Eleanor Goldfield of Rooftop Revolutionaries. You can talk with her too. Maybe you like her politics, maybe you don't, but you can let us know either by phone at 347-215-7511 or by email at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. And we have some email here for you. This is Rise I hope I'm not mispronouncing that, R-A-I-S, in L.A. And Rai says, I like your music, but I am not sure about your lyrics. Do you ever sing regular songs?
Well, it's clear that this Rise, I don't think, I'd be curious to know what you mean by a regular song. Protest music has been around for a really long time. So I'm not really sure what a regular song would be. If you're talking about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, I love all of those things, but I don't really have much to say about them. And you can find those quote-unquote regular songs in a myriad of other places. That's just not what I do because I don't think it's exciting. I don't think it's important. I think at this particular point in time, it's really important to talk about what's happening in the world because we might not have a world to live in very much longer. And then you might wish that you had plugged into a movement rather than listening to another love song. That's not to say that you shouldn't listen to love songs. I listen to a lot of different music. It's not all political, but as for me and as for other people, other artists, I think it's the job of artists to comment on what's going on in the world. I think they're letting go of that voice of a generation if they choose to just give that away to love stories and flippant commentary.
Okay, well, since I know you personally, I want to attest that you're not a killjoy, right? And people do have a good time at your live concerts. And in fact, Forsyth in New York City wants to know, since you're now in D.C., will we ever see you on tour in New York?
Yes, there's definitely a plan to do that. Right now, we have a potential West Coast tour happening in April, but a follow-up to that will definitely be on the West Coast. And, you know, just to stay involved, stay up to date, just go to the website and sign up for the newsletter and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll definitely let you know when New York is happening.
Okay. Why don't you tell us what the website is?
The website is rooftoprevolutionaries.com, and it's the same for Facebook/rooftoprevolutionaries, and Twitter is rooftoprev.
Okay, well let's play a little more music, and this is another pretty heavy duty song. This is Silence. Very heavy duty piece of music. You wanted whose voice is that in the beginning? What's going on there?
So we pulled audio from Iraq Veterans Against War from some of their panels that they've done, and we also pulled audio from live attacks that happened in Iraq and Afghanistan. So that audio is taken from I believe their helicopters. While an attack is going on, and that was also pulled from YouTube. So that's live combat dialogue and also dialogue from IVAW panels.
How did you get sounds, live sounds from an attack?
They have them up on YouTube. They've been set up on they've been shared on YouTube. So audio from various attacks has just been put up on YouTube for people to witness, and there's visuals too. You can see, I mean, they're like military cams, so they're not, you know, they're not like full HD or anything, but you can see these attacks as they're happening, and you know, a lot of them are civilian attacks, so
So it's pretty heavy, and that was really the catalyst for this song, was watching that and then also watching these IVAW panels.
Wow. You've got some lines in the chorus there. You should be silenced. Justice is violence. You should be silenced. Protest this violence. Who's talking to who there?
Basically, that is representative of our country's crackdown on not just whistleblowers, but on average citizens anywhere. You're not allowed to question the government. You're not allowed to criticize the government. And you should just stay quiet and stay in line. And this concept of justice being violence, that's our government speaking to really anybody in the world. We have we do unilateral attacks across the globe, you know, most notably perhaps Yemen, these drone strikes that happen every single day, and we are not officially at war with Yemen. We just bomb the crap out of them on a daily basis.
We've got some more emails here for you. We've got one from Mosh in New Orleans. Mosh says, your singing and talking voices are so different. How do you do that?
Well, I'm not really sure the exact physics of it. But, yeah, I mean, I do get that a lot. A lot of people don't actually think that it's a female that's singing. I just got a review the other day saying that I had no idea it was a woman until I looked at the credits. Yeah, I'm not really sure where that – I mean, I was a classically trained opera singer, and then I started doing rock singing, and maybe my ball dropped somewhere along the way, but I have a deeper and a heavier singing voice than my speaking voice, and I don't really know how that is or why that is. It's just kind of how it works.
Well, wait a minute. You trained as an opera singer?
I did, yes. I was classically trained from about the age of 5, and then when I hit puberty, I fell in love with rock stars, and that was that.
Yeah, well, that happens a lot. But obviously, opera training gives you quite a lot of range and control over your voice. It may not be a bad idea for rock singers.
No, I think opera training, and I know that a lot of vocal coaches do teach opera style training because it is so it's very rigorous, and it's a great exercise for your vocal cords. And when I taught voice, I would have people do vocal opera exercises as well. It's really great.
Okay, we have another one here, and this is Marshall in Austin says, I would put you in the metal world. Do you think you're in the metal world?
You know, I would have to say I'm not sure. I think a lot of artists or musicians don't really know how to classify themselves because they pull from so many different sources. You know, if you ask Sweden what we are, they're like, oh, you guys are just rock, because metal in Sweden is like hardcore death metal. If you ask somebody, perhaps in Austin, we're metal. I say, like, usually I tell people hard rock or alternative rock, but that's, like, the typical standard music industry niche for us. But we have fans that claim that they're metal fans, and we have fans that claim they're pop fans. You know, it's I think what's cool about what I'm really proud of is that our music tends to reach people in both the metal world and, like, the softer, not soft rock, but just the rock world as well.
And we have another one here. This is from Nancy84 in L.A., and Nancy84 wants to know who's in the band.
So the band is myself and Brian Marshak, who is a producer and guitarist, among other things, drum programmer, engineer, mixer. So he and I are the ones who write all the music and the lyrics. And then on bass, we have Micke, who's another fellow Swede. And then on drums, and for the past like year or so, for the most part, it's been Stan Love on drums. So.
Okay, well, it seems to be a good group. And also you've been together for quite some time, which is, as you know, is not always the case in rock music. We've got another one of your songs queued up here. We're getting close on time, but I really wanted to play Kiss My Soul.
Thank you.
Now, that obviously is a big change in tempo from the other songs. You've got some interesting lines in there. Want to tell us what's going on in that song?
Well, I can dedicate this to the previous emailer who asked why I don't do regular songs. I guess this might be categorized as a quote-unquote regular song. This song is perhaps the most introspectively personal song that I've written for the band because it has to do with me specifically, which I don't usually like to do. I'm not somebody that really likes to write about myself. I like to write about my experiences in the world as opposed to my own emotions. But so this song is really based on a few failed relationships that brought me to the point where I decided that I would be better off not trying to fit myself into the niche of being in a relationship. And it's not really like a sad realization. It's actually a sort of accepting and almost not happy, but content with being myself and having my soul back home and sort of, accepting that, I guess.
But when you, as when you say back home is kind of a set of different places for you too, isn't it? Both here and another country.
I guess I mean like the abstract home, like back sure. with myself, because you know, in some relationships you try to twist your personality, you try to acquiesce to the person that you're with, and to a certain extent that's very important, whether that's a friendship or a romantic relationship. But I think what I did is I tried to fit the bill for what the people that I was in a relationship with painted, because everyone had a different portrait of me that they painted, that I wasn't really that person, but they wanted me to be that person. And in my foolish youth, I would try to twist myself to become that person. And Kiss My Soul is sort of the recognition that I no longer want to do that or need to do that, and I can be very comfortable with my own self and my own soul. So the soul coming home is sort of like this abstract home of your own self.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're no longer in your foolish youth.
Nope, I'm done. It's over.
Okay. Well, Eleanor, we are out of time, unfortunately, since now we're getting the good stuff, of course. I want to thank you for calling us today, and I want to say we miss you here in Los Angeles, and I'm going to make sure that we know all about it when you come back in April. Hopefully we can see you back again at Molly Malone sometime in the future.
Well, I will definitely let everyone know, and please check us out on rooftoprevolutionaries.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and join up the newsletter. If you have any questions, anybody who emails or anything like that, feel free to email us. It's rooftoprevolutionaries@gmail.com. And thank you so much, Patrick, for having me, and I look forward to seeing you again.
Okay, I look forward to seeing you again, too. And in the meantime, as she said, you can get White by Eleanor and the Rooftop Revolutionaries at www.rooftoprevolutionaries.com. And she has a special offer on her website. She's got a two-for-one offer. You can buy both of her EPs for $5. I mean, how cool is that? Thanks again, Eleanor. Really appreciate you taking the time calling in today.
Thank you, Patrick.
We've got to take a break now, and when we return, Melissa Fox, Queen of Metal, founder and frontwoman for Judas Priestess. And now she's out with a great solo EP and a new album on the way, so don't go away. You're not going to want to miss this.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. CyberStation USA, always on the go.
And we're back. I'm Patrick O'Heffernan. I'm your host at Music Friday Live. And I want to say a little bit about solar power, because we are sponsored by one of the top solar power organizations in the country, Solar City. If you have not put solar power on your home or your office, now is the time to do it. And I know a lot of people have it because they've been afraid of the upfront cost, but you don't have to be afraid of the upfront cost anymore, because Solar City will take care of that for you. You no upfront cost on approved credit. So if you haven't been ready for solar, but solar's been ready for you, Solar City is the place to go. I did it with my house, and we cut our solar bills in half. I mean, our energy bills in half. Can you believe that? 50% off. And that's because Solar City, solar power was generating half of our electricity. So Solar City is the way to go. Solar power is the way to go. And I want all of you just to check that out. That's Solar City. Well, we've got a little bit more business to do here, and we're going to be doing that very quickly. But right now, I've got a very important message for you.
Our troops aren't the only ones fighting right now. Thousands of military families are in crisis. They're fighting financial battles, how to pay the bills, even how to keep their homes and feed their children. You can help by supporting Operation Homefront, a national nonprofit that provides emergency assistance for military families and for wounded warriors when they come home. To learn more about how you can help, go to OperationHomefront.net.
And we're back. This is Patrick O'Heffernan. I'm your host. We're at Music Friday Live. And our next guest has been called the Dark Diva, the Metal Goddess, ferocious, badass, loud. She's also been called honest, existential, hardworking, and beautiful. And she's all of these things and more. She's a multimedia genius with a message of power and confidence and rebellion and being true to who you are and what you love, regardless of stereotypes and social pressures and where people think you do and don't belong. And by doing so, she has blazed trails and opened doors and inspired thousands and made a lot of very, very good music. We're honored today to have with us Melissa Vox. Melissa, welcome to Music Friday Live.
Thanks for having me, Patrick. How are you today?
I'm doing well out here in sunny Southern California.
Me too. I'm actually out here myself.
Oh, you are? Are you here for NAMM?
I came out for NAMM, and I figured it was a good time of year to stick around.
You know, I have a lot of friends in New York who are sticking around, too. Well, Melissa,
yeah.
You have a new EP out, and I understand you're also working on a full album for release later this year. You've also been cast in a movie, and you give makeup advice, and you're a resident scholar at Times Square, and you run a production company, and you've been in Broadway plays, and you model. You're kind of an institution. Where does all this creative energy come from?
I think it's a side effect of being a biracial only child. I'm just one of those people that have that eternal fire inside. It's not really explicable. I just have creative energy and I put it to good use.
And you certainly do, and you must not sleep either.
I don't sleep. I was just talking to one of my friends about that yesterday. I'm good for, like, if I can get 4 hours straight, that's pretty much all I need. But obviously more would be nice, but my body wakes me up. So, I don't know. There's havoc to be made and created, so.
Well, we're all glad you...
Well, there's so much hell to raise while I sleep.
That's right. And we're glad you do
yeah.
it. Particularly the new EP, Bait, which has been out mm-hmm. for a little while and has gotten some pretty good press. And we're going to play some cuts from it here. I understand
Beautiful.
This is a prelude to your forthcoming album, Villainous. Now, why did you decide to do a prelude? Why not just go directly to the album?
It's been my experience with original music that original music can be difficult for people to digest these days. So, I mean, oftentimes when you go see a new band and they can play their hearts out playing original music that you've never heard, and then all of a sudden they do a cover, and all of a sudden the whole place is on their feet, and they're like, oh, I don't remember that other song, but damn, they did a great cover of, like, The Cure, you know. So I just said, you know what? I'm going to use that device and kind of give my poison apple a candy coating. so to speak. And bait is essentially the tempting lead-in to spark interest in people who aren't familiar with me or the original music that I'm making. So,
which of course,
it's just a way for people to get wet.
Okay, all right. Which of course means in
get
10
wet
years,
so I can enter them. Can I say that?
I got you. All right. And in 10 years, other bands will be covering you as a way to introduce their song. So that's
wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, wouldn't that? Oh,
that
I'm sure
it's
going to happen.
They're
all from the 90s, except for one. We don't need another hero. And I just wondered, what was it about the 90s that really struck you when you put this EP together?
Well, that's when I first really started, you know, getting into, I mean, that's my generation. Like, I was a kid in the 90s, and that's when I was listening to a lot of music that definitely stuck with me. And, I mean, my dad kind of raised me from birth on, like, psychedelic music of the 70s, like King Crimson and Iron Butterfly and, you know, like Traffic and things like that. And from that, it just led me into heavier music. Like, I was and very much am into Tool and pretty much anything that Maynard does. You know, Nine Inch Nails. These are all my favorite bands from, you know, when I was a tween. So those are all songs that I wish that I wrote. so they just always stuck with me.
Well, we have
and
a lot
they're
to
also
think.
Very representative of, like, every facet of, like, who I am and what I like in music, like. You know, like, you know, I've got the industrial, I've got the progressive metal, the epic metal, you know, the Aussie, and the melancholy music, which is represented by, like, Depeche Mode, and even, like, I mean, I hate to use the term Riot Girl, but people understand that, for PJ Harvey. So all of those things kind of make me what I am.
Well, here is one that I love, and, sure everybody recognizes this is Thunderdome. Now, you have said that when you cover a song, it has to be different or better, which is not always that easy. I think in this one, you did both.
Thank you. Well, it was important to me that when I say you have to do it different or better, it's like, I mean, I'm sure there's songs that every artist wished that they wrote, or there's songs that were very influential to shaping someone's style or you know, their influences or what have you. But unless you have anything to contribute to it or your own filter to put it through that reinterprets the song and channels it into something different and unique, then why bother? I mean, anyone can imitate, you know. As an artist, it's your job to be a filter.
When you sat down to do that song, when you decided to do that song, did you intellectually figure out what kind of a filter you wanted to be as an artist, or was that intuitive?
It's a combination of both, but I definitely, with this song, it was ultimately most important for me to make it sound modern. So I basically stripped it out of all of its 80s elements, while keeping a lot of the, you know, the spirit of that era in there. I through the guitar solos where, like, the 80s-esque energy of it really shines. But, you know, we changed it. I changed it from a saxophone solo to a guitar solo to make it a little bit more edgy. And I took out some of the sounds that just sounded a little bit too 80s and, regurgitated them into a more modern energy.
You did a beautiful job. That is on my playlist. Now, as you said, you've been in love with heavy metal, despite your parents' misgivings and acid rock and all that. And it's been a great mm-hmm. vehicle for you. And your performances, I think, are right up there with the best of them. And I love your take on Reptile. I want to play it a little bit for our audience, and we can talk a little bit about the way you did Reptile. Now that is pure heavy metal. That is power guitars and machine gun drums and dark lyrics and pure joy for anybody who listens and understands metal. But it brings up a question, and I think Laura Dawes actually brought this question up in her book "What Are You Doing Here," which discusses the stereotype that metal is for white guys and not black women. Have you kicked that door down, or was that door ever really there?
I think the door is there and you can choose to like acknowledge it or not. There's some people that I know, there's some black artists, like male and female, that prefer to just ignore the door because they don't want to call attention to their differences. And I understand that. And Lena is actually, she's really brave for coming out and making this statement, because it's a statement that can and probably has gotten her ostracized by certain people. And, you know, with me, like, you know, definitely backing her up in this situation and, like, opening the conversation, I'm sure it's cast me a stank eye or two by certain people. But I've never been the kind of person to really give a crap what people feel towards me negatively. I welcome negative comments, you know, because everyone's entitled to their own opinion, right? So
sorry, I'm going to have to disappoint
something
you
bad
on that
to
one.
Say, if someone's got something bad to say about me, then I'm like, well, at least you feel something about me.
Okay. Right. We're talking to Melissa Vox.
I'd rather take emotion over apathy or you know, ambivalence.
We're talking to Melissa Vox about her new EP, Bait, and you can call her, and she'd love to have you call and tell her how much you don't like her music or do like her music. You can call at 347-215-7511, or you can email, and I've got some emails in here already. You can email us at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Let's go to some of these emails. Orimi in Los Angeles says, if you're here in L.A., where are you playing? I want to see you.
Uh-huh. Well, hi, Remy. Normally, I do play when I come to L.A. in January. It's kind of been like a ritual that I've been doing for the past couple of years, which works out nicely with the Snowmageddon that happens in New York City in January and February. But this year, I played at NAMM. I did two shows, one with Judas Priestess and a duo with my friend Kevin Martin, who is the lead singer of Candlebox. We did a little boothy thing at NAMM, and that was fun. And I came over to LA afterwards to record the first track for Bait. So I'm actually sitting in the studio right now as I'm speaking to you.
Well, thank you for taking the time away from recording to do this. I really appreciate it. And I guess this means that when I'm in New York next week, I'm not going to find you singing live anywhere?
Sorry.
Hello? Do we, Do we lose you?
No, I'm here.
Okay. Does that mean that you're still going to be here next week?
I'm here till the 4th.
Oh, okay. Shucks. All right.
What's going on?
Oh, I'm going to be in New York next week, and I was hoping maybe I could catch you on one of your live acts, but I guess not.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm here, so aren't you? You are in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
Well, perhaps we should meet up for a tasty beverage. What do you say?
Okay, all right, we talk about that off air. Sala in Trenton, back on your side of the country, says, what will be on the new album?
Ah, very good question. The new album, which is called The Villainous, it is, you know, the second half of the series of The Villainous, and the new album is all original music. The first track on The Villainous is being made as we speak. It's been tracked, and now we're doing some mixing and remastering very soon. More than likely, I'll be releasing it as a single in the spring or summertime. And I'm just getting all my ducks in a row for the record. The record has a very strong through line as far as the progression of the story, because technically it is a concept album. And the theme of the album is this. I mean, it is the spirit of The Villainous. Basically, all the negativity and all the horrible things and the jaded energy that has, like, balled up inside me over the years, I'm, like, regurgitating it and creating art with it. So
wow.
The Villainous is basically, you know, all the swarms of doubt or anything that was forced into my head by people who told me that I didn't have a voice in this business. The Villainous is going to be the giant gleaming middle finger that says otherwise.
Okay. Well, speaking of all that, now you've been listening to and you've been playing metal for some time now, and you have the advantage, I think, and tell me if I'm wrong here, of being able to look at metal from both the inside as somebody who plays and from the outside who's somebody who's very independent and does exactly what you want. Have you seen changes in metal in the past 10 or 20 years?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's weird because now there's all these little, you know, subgenres. Like,
yeah.
All of these subgenres has popped up, and then within those subgenres, these, like, formulaic devices have occurred.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing because, like, metal used to be mostly, like, to me it was like, you know, the flag of rebellion in music.
It was outlaw music.
Made a conscious choice. Huh?
It was outlaw music.
Outlaw music, yeah. It was for people who, you know, weren't happy with the mainstream. It was like it was a desert island for you to go to. You know, it was a salvation for a lot of people. And within that, something about the look of it, something about the energy of it, has become this, like, this insane attraction to people who maybe not really are into what the message is or the lifestyle or any of that. They just are attracted to the look of it, the aesthetic, and the sound. And these formulaic devices came up, and somehow, like, creating your own message got lost, and then it became more about imitation.
Okay.
And maybe using those certain devices so that they were accepted or liked because they liked these bands and wanted to emulate them so much that they just kind of carbon copied them because they wanted to live that lifestyle too and, you know, emulate their influences so intensely, you know.
Well,
that's why I say
it's
important as an artist to, you know, channel the music and make your own.
Well, a song on the EP that to me is like that. That is, it's sort of musical heroin and completely addictive and definitely an outsider. Is a song you covered, 46 and 2, which is, you know, by Tool in 1996. And you create a sonic environment in it that is cinematic, it's soulful, it's gut-tightening, it's hypnotic, it's definitely not your normal formulaic advice. Let's play a little of it here. Said, I think this is just an incredible piece of music, and I hate to say this, but I like it actually better than Tool's originally. You have created essentially a movie in my mind with that music.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, that's the whole point of my style, is that I wanted to be very cinematic and to like the kind of album that you'd want to sit, like lay on the floor in your room and put headphones on and just like let it take you somewhere else. But like the whole concept of starting with that, because this is a concept album and I wanted it to be like a storybook that was opening. So that's why you have those like distorted harps and things like that. That was
more
like
it's more like kind of a
choice.
More like kind of a scary novel that's opening rather than a storybook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, see, you understand.
Well, I actually did listen to it with my earphones. I wasn't laying on the floor. The studio's not big enough, but you're absolutely right. And it did create a movie. I mean, it's full of images, just wonderful. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple more emails here, and one in particular I wanted to get to, and then I want to talk a little bit about Militia Vox, the institution. But Randy in San Diego says, Judas Priestess is so much fun. I have seen you live. Keep doing it. Well, you are doing it, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I'm still doing it. Judas, thank you, Randy in San Diego. Judas Priestess is so much fun, and I'm really lucky to have found like-minded females that, A, have that weird, you know, disturbing chip in their head to play heavy music, because not all girls want to play heavy music. And I really have, like, a dream team right now of people that just have, like, the best chops, and they got the attitude and the energy, and they love Priest, we love Priest, you know. I'm really lucky, and we put on a fierce show, and It's just no holds barred kind of energy that I love. And it's opened a lot of doors, not only for me, but just for, like, you know, I feel like women in tribute, because now I feel like there's actually a lot of tribute bands that have started because of us. You know, girls
darn,
that were, like, inspired enough to pick up, you know, a guitar and meet up with other girls and want to make music. So it's cool that, like, even in tribute, like, tribute can inspire and then re-inspire.
You know, there's a lot more women now playing guitars. I've noticed that the bass is actually probably becoming, I wouldn't say becoming a female instrument, but I see almost as many women playing the bass. And I see a lot of women now playing heavy duty. I was at 333 Live at one of the wonderful music showcases put on by Gypset Magazine last night. And Lex, an all-female band, playing very heavy music very well, was up there, and they knocked the socks off of everybody in the room. So I think
great.
I'm seeing that change. Now, as I said, I wanted to ask you a little bit about Militia Vox, the institution. What is Malicious Productions? What all do you do there?
Malicious Productions was a production company that I set up to produce, mostly to produce events in New York City it was obviously self-motivated because there were events that I wanted to see. So I created events that I wanted to see in New York and involved, you know, people that I admire and friends of mine that wanted to get together and create
good music and have like a fun little, you know, events to go to. So I had a couple different events that would run on a rotation in New York City, such as I had a group called Anarchists of Color, which was an all-black rock and metal tribute show, essentially. You know, we would get together and just play, you know, anything from Rage Against the Machine to, you know, Prince to Live in Color to, like, you know, it was just a lot of fun. Like, you know, genre crossing, but still heavy. You know, we would do songs by Mother's Finest, and the band, it was a house band that would kind of rotate out here and there. And we had, you know, Felicia Collins from the Paul Schaefer band and Letterman play guitar. And we had Frank Ferrer, who's now in Guns N' Roses, play drums. And we would just get together and just create this, like, really soulful, wow, hard rock and heavy metal for fun. That was all it was. It was for fun. And
Let me interrupt you for a second.
Play.
Because mm-hmm. I noticed that one of the things that Malicious Productions does is mm-hmm. is Malicious Makeup. Is that just mm-hmm. for fun, or is that a business venture? You can do these great makeup videos.
Oh, thank you. It was kind of more or less for it was a two-part thing. Well, I should say it's a three-part thing. One, it was because I was getting a lot of emails from people that were asking me how I do my makeup. So I figured it was easier, instead of like just like answering them all, just to do some videos where they could see how I do it. So that was one. Two was Dish and Snooki's Manic Panic, who is known for creating, you know, punk rock alternative hair color. They also have a makeup line, and I'm one of their sponsored artists. So as a way to, you know, give back and work with my sponsor, I decided to create these videos, you know, showing some of their products that I like to use.
And then
it's useful for them too. And then the third part was that Afropunk wanted to, you know, just have more content with me involved in it. And so we all partnered up together and I made these videos, and they seem to be useful for some people.
Well, even for somebody like me who doesn't normally wear makeup, they're a great look at you, the person. And which is why I enjoy them. We are almost out of time, mm-hmm. but I can't let you go without asking you. You were in the Rocky Horror Show in the 35th anniversary production. Was that as crazy to be in as it was to watch?
Yes. Pretty much any of those events in New York City are crazy to be in. But these are all, like, we're all creatures of the night. Like, everyone that's in that video is, you know, we've known each other from, you know, the New York underground scene, rock scene and the glam punk scene. And, you know, I'm kind of like the token metalhead in that little circle. But, you know, I've always loved Rocky Horror. It's like one of my favorite musicals. That's a story that I'll share with you another time about my love for Rocky Horror.
We're
it's
down
taken
to our
me
last.
Into some pretty crazy places.
All right.
But, yeah, well, Rocky Horror was great. And I ended up being Columbia because I have that secret hidden talent that I can tap dance, which most people don't know, but that's why I got the role.
I mean, most people probably don't know that you have a Bachelor of Fine Arts too, and we've got to go. So this is Malicious.
Well,
thank
nice
you
talking
so much
to you.
Oh, it's been a ball, and we're going to have you back on the show again.
I know, there's so much more to discuss.
Oh, there is. Militia Vox, her new EP is Bait. You can get it at www.militiaismyname.com. And while you're there, pick up an autographed copy of her album cover photos and a Militia t-shirt. I mean, how cool is that? Thanks again, Militia. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Patrick. Pleasure talking to you.
You've been listening to Music Friday Live with Patrick O'Heffernan from the CyberStation USA studios in Los Angeles and Boston. You've been listening also to Blog Talk Radio and our radio affiliates around the country. If you like our Facebook page and you follow our Twitter feeds, you'll get real-time updates on our guests. We're going to be off for 2 weeks, so you'll be able to listen to Classic Music Friday Live, and I'm sure that our producer, Lars Christensen, will make sure that happens. Our program director, Jason Bartleben, is also doing that, and our intern, Angeline Serrano. You can download this and other Music Friday programs at blogtalkradio.com, Music Friday. And as I said, we're going to be traveling for the next 2 weeks, so you'll be able to download classic music video live shows. Good night, everybody, and have a great musical weekend. And we're going to leave you with a little bit of Rid of Me by Militia.